Last weekend, Pastor Sarah shared with us Psalm 88. And if you were present, you heard a very depressing psalm. It was written in a voice of somebody who was suffering, struggling, and crying out to God, but not feeling like God was responding. That sense of absence, of God turning God's back on them, permeated the whole psalm. Well, today, Psalm 50 isn't exactly a response to that. It's certainly not in numerical order, but it does give us a response in that it gives us another perspective. Psalm 50 is giving us God's perspective on God's relationship with the people, even the people that are suffering. Now, Psalm 50, if you look at it in your Bibles, it said it's a psalm of Asaph, who was one of the court musicians for King David. But clues in this psalm lead us to believe it was written much, much later. The psalm almost sounds like a rebuke, like people are doing worship wrong. And so this was probably written during a time of temple worship reform. It might have been written during the reign of King Josiah or Hezekiah, who did focus on temple reform, or it might have been written after the exile when people were coming back to the temple after many, many years away and trying to rediscover worship. And what they were doing is trying to follow the law as God laid it out. Come to worship at the right times, make the right offerings and sacrifices, pray in the right way. They were doing their best to do what was expected of them. And we hear in this psalm that God was not criticizing what they were doing. God was affirming that they were doing things right. They had the how of worship figured out. What God is asking for more focus on is the why. Why were the people coming to worship? If they could figure out the why, perhaps in those times of desperate isolation and suffering, they wouldn't feel quite so distant from God. Now, it's not a surprise that the people were getting confused about the why, especially if they'd been doing it for a long time and it was becoming just a pattern of life, something that they did. They were trying to meet expectations. They check it off their list. But also, they were living surrounded by many, many other types of religions in this ancient Near East place. There were lots of gods getting worshipped, and their worship practices seemed very similar. People would come to some sort of temple, they would worship, they would make sacrifices and offerings, and they would pray. But their why was really clear. And perhaps their why was influencing how these children of God, the children of Israel, were worshiping their one true God. You see, in these religious practices, when they were making their offerings and their sacrifices, first of all, they were doing it because they believed their God needed it from them. Their God needed them to feed God. So their God had some type of particular diet, and they were supposed to go out and get the right type of animal or blood or human and offer it up in hopes that if their God was full, God would be satisfied and their God would be nice. Right? So their God would treat them well. Also, they believed that if they could make the right type of offering, if it could maybe be the biggest or the most beautiful or perhaps the most painful, their God would take extra notice and then maybe give them what they wanted. Some things they might have wanted might have been rain or children or prosperity or health or long life or whatever the things all people have wanted throughout all of human history. They would come and bring their offerings, hoping to make a difference, that their God would notice and be so pleased with this offering that they would get what they wanted. I don't want to say it was manipulation, but they were trying to at least influence their God to treat them and give them the things that they wanted. In so doing, trying to believe that their God depended on them for food, and also thinking that they could somehow influence how their God treated them, what they were doing was minimizing God. their God, whoever they were worshiping, they were minimizing that God into something that they felt they had some control over. They would control how they were treated if they gave the right type of food to this God, right? And they would control how their God gave them gifts if they gave their God the right type of gifts first. So they were minimizing their God's power, because clearly their God was dependent on humans, and they were also minimizing their relationship with the God to a transaction. So the one true God is addressing God's chosen people here in this psalm and asking them, why are you doing these things? Why are you coming to worship? And why are you giving these offerings, these sacrifices? Is it because you think perhaps that God is hungry? And God makes it very clear in Psalm 50, God isn't hungry. And in fact, if God was hungry, God who created all the earth and everything in it could take God's pick of whatever God wanted and eat that at their own discretion. There was no need for the humans involved to feed God, clearly stated in Psalm 50. And second of all, God, this one true God, wanted the people to examine why they are making these offerings. Is it because they are hoping to get something, get their wish granted, influence, persuade God to do their own bidding? If that is the case, God wants the people to know that there is nothing on the whole face of the earth, nothing that they can touch that would ever be big enough to persuade this God who created everything to do their will instead of God's will. Nothing. It would be like if we're walking and a little ant comes up and brings us a grain of sand. It's not going to change what we're doing with the rest of our day. God wanted it to be very clear to the people that God was so big. God had all the abundance at God's discretion. God was not dependent on the people for a single thing, which means people coming to worship weren't coming because God needed them to. This was not about God's need. In fact, the why of worship had everything to do with the need of the people. When the people came to make an offering to God, it was not because they were going to influence God's plan for the day. It was because they were going to influence their spirits. God says very clearly in Psalm 50, those who bring thanksgiving as their sacrifice honor me. Not the biggest bull, not the most gold, not the prettiest flowers. Those who bring thanksgiving as their sacrifice honor me. To those who go the right way, I will show the salvation of God. What does it do to our worship and our offerings, our sacrifices, if we start out first with thanksgiving? Not with a sense of God's need, but with a sense of praise. If we come to worship with our offerings, with our sacrifices, thinking, this is God's gift to me, the whole situation changes. God wanted the people to understand that this is the God of abundance and generosity. This is the God that owns everything on the planet. So in fact, everything that every person has in their possession, their control, is actually God's. So when the people come and make their sacrifice, all they are doing is returning to God something that was already God's in the first place. What happens to our spirits when we understand that? When we understand that this was never our stuff anyway. In fact, God has provided 100% of everything we have ever needed. God doesn't need us to give something so God can survive. We need to remember that God is this big. We need to remember that God is this generous and abundant. So when we return a portion back to God, we are testifying that we believe that God is the creator of all, that God is in charge of all, that God is the giver of all, and that God is taking care of us. That's what we need when we come to worship. We need to remember how big God is. And to remember God's character of generosity and abundance. When we give, we are testifying that we know who God is. And another thing, when we give an offering, we are testifying not that we think God is going to do our will, our bidding. We are testifying that we believe God cares about every detail of our lives. That God cares that we had to work hard to get here this morning. That God cares that we had to balance our budget last night to be able to bring this offering. God cares about the suffering we're going through, about the prayers we are offering, about the people that we are concerned about. God cares about all of this. God loves all of us. We are coming to thank God for being present in every aspect of our lives. God already knows what we need, and God is there to provide it. It doesn't mean that we automatically get our wishes granted. We are not meant to always understand the ways of God. But when we come to worship and we make an offering with a heart of thanksgiving and praise, we are reminded of the truth of God and the truth of our relationship with God. Far from feeling abandoned in our suffering, we are reminded that God is huge and God is here and God cares about us and is ready to give us what we need at any moment. We need to come to worship and we need to make offerings to be reminded of God. When we give our offerings with the sense that God has provided, we are filled with thanksgiving. This is simply our response to God who is already there, to God who is already active in our lives. This is our testimony that God is here with us right now. So that when we go through those desert times, those times of trial and suffering, even though we don't feel good, even though it's really hard and lonely, we remember this God is big, this God is here, this God cares for us, this God is loving us completely. No act of our own causes this. It's God's choice to come and love us. I had a very powerful experience several years ago, being caught in the tension between this cosmic God vastness that I can't comprehend and the God that cares about the minutiae of life. I've been blessed to lead a pilgrimage to the Holy Land twice. And the first time, I will never forget, there is this wall, you've probably heard of it in Jerusalem, called the Western Wall. It is the holiest accessible place to the Jewish people right now on earth. It is a retaining wall that was built by King Herod to help support the temple that was in Jerusalem. Well, we know the temple was destroyed in the year 70 CE. And this is the last structure that the Jewish people can still get close to. So it's become a very sacred place. And people would go there to pray, to get close to God. And several hundred years ago, a tradition started where people would bring their prayers to offer to God at that wall. So they would write their prayers on little pieces of paper and cram them in the cracks. This wall is made of gigantic stones, but it's old. And so there's little cracks all around and in the stones. Some of you have probably done this. I've heard some stories of people who have done this. So pilgrims now are all invited to participate in bringing their prayers and leaving them at the wall. So the first time I had this opportunity, was given this little piece of paper, and I diligently wrote really, really tiny the names of everybody in my family on this little piece of paper, and I rolled it up as tight and as small as I could, because even though there's lots of cracks, there's thousands of people every day that are jamming their prayers into these cracks, and I wanted mine to fit. So I rolled it up really, really small, and I went up and we found a good crack, and I jammed my little paper in there, and then I placed my hand on the wall and I started to pray. And I first started praying about all the people on my list, and I was giving some really good, thorough prayers for all these people on my list. And while I'm praying, my mind starts to open up that God is listening to me and all these little tiny, tiny names on my list, but all the people at the wall with me right now have the same list, and God is listening to all their prayers and listening and caring about all the little names written on all those little tiny pieces of paper. And not just now, but all day. And God's been doing this all year. And God's been doing this for hundreds of years. And can you imagine how many little pieces of paper God has been paying attention to? In case you're curious, twice a year, those pieces of paper do get cleaned out. And the people that take care of the wall, they clean it out with their hands or with a stick, because they're being very, very careful not to harm any of those pieces of paper. They treat them as sacred scripture, as things that are holy to God. And they'll gather them up twice a year, and they will put them in bags, and they bury them on the Mount of Olives, showing them the same respect that they would show to a Torah, for example, that could no longer be used. So these prayers, back to these prayers. There's so many of these prayers. My mind is getting blown by how much God knows about all this stuff. And thanksgiving and praise starts erupting from my lips. I'm thinking about this God is bigger than the wall and bigger than the country and bigger than the world and bigger than the universe. And God is, I'm just praising this God of the whole cosmos that is so big, I can't even imagine the edges of God. And at the same time, knows every little tiny detail on every little scrap of paper. And for all the people that never even wrote on the little paper, God knows every little detail of all of our hearts. This is our God. When we come to worship with a heart of praise and thanksgiving, we are connected to this God that is so cosmically large and yet loves us so profoundly that God cares about even the tiniest detail of our lives. And we know this is true because God sent God's own Son to come, not for God's benefit, but for ours, so that Jesus could make a way that we could be in constant communion with this God, that we could constantly remember how big and vast and powerful and kind and generous this God is, and how desperately God loves us, even down to the tiniest detail. In his letter to the Hebrews, Paul wrote in chapter 13, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name." So how do we go about this? How do we check ourselves? Later this morning, we'll have the opportunity to give our offerings. Maybe some of us already did it today electronically, or maybe we're going to walk it in later today or this week. How do we check ourselves so that our worship and our offerings are not something meant to manipulate God or to shrink God down to something we can control, hopefully, but how to use them to grow our relationship with God? Well, we start with this attitude of thanksgiving and praise. Let's start today. When we make our offerings today or the rest of this week, let's start out naming some things we can praise God for, naming some things we are thankful for, to remind ourselves how big God is, to remind ourselves that all of this came from God in the first place. And we're just giving some back as a sign of our trust, as a testimony to the bigness of God. And then later tonight, before we go to sleep, maybe we can challenge ourselves to think of 10 things we can thank God for, praise God for. And then what about tomorrow morning when we wake up? Let's think of 10 different things we can praise God for. And then how about at noon? And then tomorrow night, and on and on. Maybe we can become people that continually praise God, thank God. And when we do that, we will be continually reminding ourselves that God is so big. God can do anything. And God is so intimate. We are swimming in his love, that God knows every single detail about us and loves us and is acting in our lives. The more we praise God, the more we thank God, the closer we will get to God, the more we will be made like God, the more we will be certain that in those times of trial and suffering, God has not abandoned us. God will be with us every minute of our lives for all eternity. This is about us remembering the identity, the character, and the love of God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, today we come to you in worship. Some of us entered this worship space today feeling empty and dry and hopeless. Some of us came feeling joyful and we were celebrating. Some of us came feeling very anxious about circumstances beyond our control. However we came today, Lord, we give it to you. We give it to you and we praise you. Thank you for choosing to be our God. Thank you for welcoming us into your family. Fill our hearts with your love to overflowing so we can go and testify to the truth of you in this world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.